And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharsky, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. PKN for Rex Road today. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we know this, when PK's in for Rex Road, the professionalism skyrockets.
Through the roof.
PK, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm glad to bring a dose of professionalism. Gout-free show. Mike McCoy-free show. There will be no Mike McCoy audio during this show. That is my edict. Ian, are you willing to, are you able?
I'm down for that, sure. I'm able.
The cliches will go down.
It's good.
The meaningless words will go down. That's my pledge to you. So I'm happy to be here.
I mean, it's a big time service. We're doing the Nashville airwaves this
morning. It could catch on. People steal good ideas. I invite everyone to steal it. You don't have to say it's my idea. You could just do it.
Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, good morning. Doing great. Thanks. Yeah, looking forward to a Mike McCoy-free show. Should be fun.
Looking handsome over there.
Yeah, he is. Look at him.
Well, thank you. I do need a beard trim.
I'm wearing a college shirt today. I'm trying to raise
I have my hoodie on. Don't worry.
I've got a class tonight.
I've dressed pretty well all week. Yeah. You know you're dressing well or maybe out of normal. When people are like, wow, you look nice. It's like, oh, what do I normally look like?
Dressing well, you're in a Packers sweater.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like today, I've just totally mailed it in. I looked out the window this
morning. Yeah, you had a nice shirt on for the company Thanksgiving lunch.
I've done
the
pretty
other
good
day.
All
there was
week.
A company Thanksgiving lunch?
There was.
Wow.
And
PK, did you miss the invite to that?
I mean, I'm not available generally. I like to be invited to things so that I can say no. That's one of my big things.
All right, I'll keep that in mind.
I would love to be invited so I can say no.
I mean, you could put me down as a no and then invite me.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes me feel good. I couldn't.
But I looked out the window this morning. It was all foggy, and I was like, you know, today looks like a pretty good day for some sweatpants and a hoodie. So you're welcome, PK.
I don't know if you know this about me. I do not believe in wearing sweatpants publicly unless you're going to the gym. Well, I mean, if I'm running to Home Depot, I generally will not wear sweatpants. And it's funny that I said running to Home Depot. If my wife is listening, she's howling, like as if I go to Home Depot to do things. to the grocery store.
You can frequently find PK.
She's laughing
at
that too, but I have been to the grocery store. I don't go to Home Depot. I'm running an errand, I generally am putting on shorts or jeans. I don't like people in sweatpants.
Well,
I want you to act like you're leaving your home.
I am. I'm leaving my home for a long time today.
But I think you just are such a company guy that this is your home.
Yeah, you know, that's right. You're not going to find a harder worker than me, self-proclaimed.
It feel like home when you're in here, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
That's what makes the show so good.
I do.
It's as if you're home. At Rex Rhodes' case, he broadcasts a lot from home.
That's true.
In his sweatpants.
It's true.
I mean, it's a hit or miss as to whether he's in or on a dark balcony.
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes he's not even he's on a roof somewhere out there. We got a lot going on the program today. Best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Luke Richardson, Preds assistant coach, at 7:30. They're back in action coming up on Saturday, taking on the league's number one team in the Colorado Avalanche. And our man Charles Robinson with us at 8 o'clock. I was texting with Charles last night. PK's in this morning, and Charles is very excited about it. So
oh, that's nice.
Got Charles coming up at 8 o'clock on the program. We begin here, and it's kind of a – I want to dive deep into this with PK and really get his perspective on this because we didn't talk a ton about this yesterday. You know, we talked a lot yesterday when you were with us about Cam Ward and the offense and J.C. Latham and his struggles and all those things, and we'll get into some of that throughout the show here. But, I mean, we're as the season drags along here, they're 1-9. You know, mercifully, this thing's going to come to an end at some point here, and we're going to get to what is ultimately the most important phase of Titans football that is on the immediate horizon, and as is the hiring of the next head coach and figuring out whether or not that's going to work with Cam Ward and this thing's going to get turned around in the right direction. So PK, as you're looking at this team, as you're looking at where they are from a roster perspective, we all understand there's a ton of work to do there, and we're going to get into some of that a little bit later in the show. I think there's work to do from just I hate to use this word because it's overused in sports, but a culture, an environment, a mentality standpoint. Like, there's clearly work to be done on that front with this group as well. So if you're Mike Borgonzi and you're looking at all this, and you've talked about this, and I totally agree, like, he needs to be the one that is leading the search here and ultimately making the hire of the next football coach. What do the Titans most need? Like, if you're looking to turn this thing around, and I'm not saying going from, you know, one win or two wins or what do they end up with this year to winning 12 games next year. But if you're looking to turn this ship around and start to finally make some meaningful progress here, what do the Titans need? And maybe that's a style. I know there are some out there believe, and I think this is probably more from a national scale, that you've got to cater your next coaching hire completely to Cam Ward and get your offensive guy in here and make sure Cam Ward's in the best possible system, the best possible structure to succeed as they move forward. So, PK, you're as close to this team as anybody. What's your best sense of what Mike Borgonzi's plan of attack needs to be as they get through these next couple of months here and ultimately get to what's going to define his tenure, Cam Ward's tenure, and that is the next head football coach of this team?
Well, I've got kind of a two-pronged attack, if you will. One of them's kind of a cultural thing. You need an alpha, right? You need a guy that's going to make it clear he's, you know, falls into the leader of men category, but a guy that everybody knows is in charge, who you have to buy in and follow, and more importantly than anything, believe in, right? Brian Callahan's stuff was hard to believe in because it wasn't working, you know? And you have to look at what's gone on here in recent history. Vrabel early did stuff that guys believed in, right? They lost offensive linemen. How early was that Houston game?
Second game of the year, I think.
Second game of his first year, they got beat up on the offensive line. They played backups. Was that the Derrick Henry Wildcat game? They patched things together and found a way to win, and right away guys were like, hey, this guy's drawing stuff up on a Friday, staying late, and when we're installing it at a walkthrough on a Saturday and it's working, I'm in.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying they didn't buy into Callahan. You're not going to just walk into extreme measures like Vrabel did on that day, but that really helped him with the buy-in, and he had that very simple thing of, if we do these three things, we will win. And he had a very good hit rate of, if they did those three things, they won. So I'm looking for an alpha type who has a leadership style that very simply shows guys, if you let me lead, we will have results. That's the number one, like, personality thing.
Yeah.
And you need an offensive scheme. It's beyond the quarterback. It can't just be Cam specific, because there's a chance that Cam doesn't work out. But you've got to have some kind of reliable offensive formula that is going to move the ball and is going to get you out of the teens. You need to score 24 points a game, you know, around there to be in football games. The Tennessee Titans have lived in the low teens,
yep,
for too long. It's not an entertaining product, but never mind that. The wins entertain, and it's not a winning product. And so what I did is I put together a list here of young, offensive-minded coaches and how much for these guys who have all had, all but one, have had a degree of success already. How much has it been about their quarterback? Dave Canales has started to turn things around at Carolina. I don't know if you know this about me. Carolina is my least favorite NFL team.
Yeah.
The logo's bland. The stadium's bland. It's just like if you were making up an NFL team for a movie, right, that was indistinguishable, it's Carolina.
Yep.
Right?
That makes sense.
Like, if you put Carolina in a movie, nobody would care about object about the NFL rights because it's so bland.
Yeah.
But they're moving in the right direction. I don't
seem
like
to be.
I don't like Bryce Young, but I mean he's got something going. Ben Johnson, they're going the right direction with Caleb Williams. Shane Steichen was not doing anything because of his bad quarterback situation.
Yep.
And now he got a quarterback that can play his system, and they're terrific. Liam Cohn, I'd say the jury's still out, but part of why it's not going as well as you would hope is because Trevor Lawrence, yet again, isn't panning out. So it seems Jacksonville's got a Trevor Lawrence problem, right? Fair?
Fair.
Mike McDaniel, not the darling that he was, but Tua has not been what he needed to be for that whole thing to work.
Correct.
Fair? Kevin O'Connell. Very good with Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Not so good with a combination of McCarthy and Wentz. Reliant on the quarterback.
Absolutely.
Kellen Moore, first year, bad quarterbacks. Rattler and Shuck, too early to say. Kevin Stefanski, I really like a lot. His list of quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco, Winston, Gabriel, all of this with your guy Deshaun in the background.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive that he's had success and lasted from 2020 with a five-quarterback list. That's how it works in Cleveland. If you package all of those guys, I don't think you're saying wow
no.
over anybody there. But that's a semi-successful list of coaches. Like, if the Titans got a coach that plugged somewhere in the middle of that, is that good? I'm asking legitimately.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good question. And you know, the O'Connell one is the one where I look at and it's like, well, Darnold played great. He got the best version of Kirk Cousins. I mean, look, for a few weeks he made Josh Dobbs look like a, you know, actual starting quarterback in the league. It's not going well with J.J. McCarthy.
And Darnold may just be a quarterback now that'll make any coach.
It may be. Yeah, like he might be. He's you know, other than one game this year we had four picks, he's been pretty darn good in Seattle. And Titans are about to get a first-hand look at that. No, it's a great point. Would Titans fans take somebody in that mold to be head coach?
I think Steichen's a really good coach off that list.
Yep.
I think Johnson has a chance to be a really good coach off that list. I think O'Connell's probably a pretty good coach with bad quarterbacks. The rest, and I think Stefanski's a really good coach. The rest of them,
I'm
not real excited about.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Off and running, PK with us through the entire show today and taking your thoughts on the Titans. What is Borgonzi's plan of attack here over the next few months to get this thing turned around? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski with me on the program today, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ben to the program. Ben, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
How are you both?
Doing good, Ben.
Great.
Good. PK, good to have you sitting in for Joe. But so I think you guys are right on track. You know, you need to have an offensive-minded coach, right? But I'm going to throw a little bit of a monkey wrench into what you guys are talking about, and you can do with it what you will, you know, because earlier in the week we had talked about how, you know, whoever comes in, the elephant in the room is Andy. And so does it fall on Borgonzi to have to assure whoever he's trying to bring in to assure them, say, hey, listen, you're not going to really have to deal with her. I'm gonna face that demon, and I'm going to keep her out of your way. You just got to focus on this and cater the offense to help the young quarterback develop and focus on these things. And if that's the case, what's that conversation look like from Borgonzi to Amy as they're going through this process? Does he have the wherewithal to stand up to her and tell her, you've got to get out of our way and let us do these things? Because ultimately, she's the stopgap.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate
and the other thing real quick, I agree with PK about the sweats. If I see somebody come into the workplace in sweats, you're just a half step away from wearing flip-flops to work. So do with that what you will.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. I'm getting nuked today.
Do you have flip-flops?
No, I mean, I actually I own one pair of flip-flops.
But where do you wear them?
The beach. That's it.
Yeah, okay.
I can't do it anywhere else.
Listen, on the Amy thing, I think that's a pipe dream to think that she's not going to talk to the coach. Vrabel talked to her once a week.
Yeah.
Callahan talked to her once a week. McCoy's talking to her once a week.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, by the way. Like, as long as she's not barging into the coach's office five times a day demanding things, I don't have any problem with the owner talking to the coach one time a week.
No, if it's this light check-in thing. The thing about Amy is she picks stuff periodically to get to find important. And that's where the danger lies. That's what Borgonzi needs to protect him from, but he needs protection himself from it. I mean, that's Brinker's job, is to protect his football people from her getting carried away in a moment about whatever it is that turns into some sort of distraction or turn something disproportionate. But he can't give a new coach any assurances about her in that way. He's got to get assurances from her and convince her. And again, this is more Brinker, that she's going to give people time to work. Time to work is the big thing based on, hey, Vrabel was good and he had two bad seasons, which weren't that bad, which had 13 wins in them, and that was it for him. And that, you know, as bad as Callahan was, he got a season in what? A season in six games?
Yep.
That you know, those are pretty quick triggers when you're doing in slow build phase.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Amy part of this really comes in the fold if they're targeting a head coach that's going to have multiple options out there. Does that end up being a negative for the Titans when you're playing the comparison game? I mean, I think there's definitely a chance it could. Look, you know, I've said this a couple times. I don't think that the hire has to be an offensive guy. I know people are scared to death of hiring a defensive coach and losing your offensive coordinator. I worry about that later. Like, if you hire a good enough coach where the offensive coordinator at some point a couple years down the road gets hired away, yeah, I'll take that right now, and then you can go hire another offensive coordinator. Of course, I would love to. And like, I mean, the Callahan formula has worked around the league of hiring the head coach that's the play caller, and then you don't have to worry about that. So if that's what the Titans did, that's fine. Just pick the right guy. I mean, that's what it comes down
to. It's also drained a lot of those people. Yeah, so I'm with you. It doesn't have to be an offensive coach, but if it's a defensive coach, he's got to have a very good offensive pipeline, hire a very good offensive staff. And then you want to know, you know, how is he hiring an offensive head coach under him, offensive coordinator / head coach, or is he involved and to what degree? You know, he's going to be involved to some degree, but how much? You know, when Sean McVay came into the league, he hired Wade Phillips as his defensive coordinator, and Wade Phillips was head coach of the Rams' defense.
Yes.
You know, and there's something to be said for having that, but it's also hard to find a Wade Phillips, especially on the offensive side of the ball, which is trending younger and younger, et cetera, et cetera.
No, there's no doubt. And look, I think, you know, I brought this up a couple times. Borgonzi didn't want to talk about the head coaching search all that much, but I do think he lets you behind the curtain a little bit in terms of, like, the first thing he started talking about and what he did say about the head coaching search was the leadership part of it. And I think that's going to be really important. And I'm reading between the lines. I could be wrong there. It kind of suggests to me that you may be somebody who's done that before and has displayed those qualities at the head coaching level. And I know a lot of people put Sala in that mix. You know, there's the natural Mike McCarthy connection because Brinker is in the organization. I have no idea if that is a good thing or a bad thing or if those two even like each other. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on the Mike McCarthy
and the relationship with Borgonzi. And that's, you know, that's why people tend to plug in the people he knows.
Yep.
Nagy.
Yep.
McCarthy, because it's awfully hard through two rounds of interviews to feel like you totally get to know the guy. Hey, I definitely can work with this guy for 5 years and it's going to be great. But also, you know, people hire people all the time in all kinds of businesses that are going to have major relationships that key the success of companies who they don't know. And who they get, you know, he's also, it's not just him and this guy sitting in a room. You know, there's a league-wide network of people. They're going to have common friends and take, you know, recommendations to heart and things like that. I don't want it to be narrow where it's got to be somebody he knows. I mean, we saw too much of that with some of the Vrabel hires. And people were annoyed to hell about that.
They were. 615-737-1025. We will continue this discussion. Plus, I want to get PK's thoughts on another part of Borgonzi's plan that is going to be massive this offseason. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. The MTSU Blue Raiders taking on Sam Houston this Saturday at 2 o'clock. You can catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. Paul Kuharski with me on the program today. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. By the way, Ed says, with regard to the coaching staff watching this team play, it'd be nice to see what Denard Wilson could do with more talent on defense. Wouldn't be surprised to see him thrive elsewhere in the same role. We talked about that a little bit yesterday, PK. Like, it's been pretty impressive what the defense has been able to do this year for the most part, based on what's been available to them on the field. I would have to think that for people around the league that are paying pretty close attention, it's been a very positive development for Denard Wilson this year.
He could get a coordinator job. He could wind up coaching defensive backs for a year or two to have to climb back up to a coordinator job. Can I take a side trip here?
You sure can.
Tom Pelissero, and this is what got me, if people have been following this, this is what got me blocked, I think, last year by Tom Pelissero.
Yes.
And then we told the story here of the breakfast line at the owners' meetings where we had a peace treaty and I got unblocked.
You did.
He put out yesterday, this is my big beef with him, his list of prospective NFL coaches, which has like three segments. The first segment is like hot right now, 24 guys, which is too big a list as it is. There are going to be seven openings max. Hot right now, 24. That's too big a ratio.
Yeah.
Then like names to keep an eye on in the long run. Like 121 guys. 121 guys.
Here's the entire league.
And then he had 18 guys that are hot in college, which includes a guy from 1-10 Boston College. All right, in the guys to keep an eye on in the long term, five guys from your 1-9 Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Five guys. Now, look, I love Nick Holtz, but I think if I was having a beer with Nick Holtz, he'd say, I shouldn't be on that list right now. I got passed over for play caller. You know, they didn't even think about me for interim coach.
Which is fine.
You know?
Cool with that.
It's all fine.
All right. So I wrote a big long, you know, Tom Cassidy, here's my annual review of guys that are, you know, ultimately good head coaching. And I did a big tweet. Here's my annual review of Tom's annual review. You know, and I said, if every coach in the league hired a new coach for 5 years in a row, they could not get to all of Tom's head coaches. This is Tom's Rolodex and his thank you to all of his sources around the league.
Yeah.
And Tom, don't block me. Every media person in the league is thinking this. I'm just the one saying it.
Yes.
On every behalf. I got about six follows from people who cover NFL media.
Okay.
All right. So that's a signal like, hey, I like what you're vibing here.
Yeah.
I got about five texts from friends in the business, you know, emojis, fist pumps, crying, laughing eyes, all of that.
So if he blocks you again, or are we going to?
He has not blocked me.
We're going to do a repair job at another breakfast, or are you just going to leave it alone?
I mean, it could be an annual breakfast ritual at the thing. It's just a ridiculously long list that includes people like, this is really a pet peeve of mine. I could have saved it for worst thing in sports.
Hire Nick Holtz.
Yeah, it's too long.
I'm looking at it now.
I said
it
next year you could do everybody that's not getting a job and save some time.
I mean, it's got a lot of people in this. Falcons QB coach DJ Williams.
There's an interim special teams coach on there. An interim.
Ravens defensive coordinator Zach Orr. Ravens defense has been awful this year. Just put him on the list.
Yeah, Kevin Petula.
Yeah.
Who's the most controversial coach in the league right now. Who can, you know, they've got a great red zone offense.
Eagles OC,
in Philadelphia. Yep. But everything else about Philadelphia's offense is in disarray.
It does have Vanderbilt defensive coordinator Steve Gregory on here.
A.J. Brown is upset.
Clark Lee on that list?
Saquon Barkley's not getting any carries. And this offense – somebody should go hire Kevin Petula. All the Eagles fans on there are like, yes, please. He's a brilliant candidate. Hire him immediately.
Do it. Yep, that's a long list that Pelissero has put out there. All right, on the Titans front, PK, I want to get your thoughts on this because we all know that there's a billion things they've got to fix this offseason. If you could nail down sitting here today, and I'm taking quarterback out of this because Cam Ward's going to be the quarterback next year. If you could nail down this offseason one position that you knew today that they would hit, and that could be draft, that could be free agency, whatever it is. If you could pick one that you knew that they would find a fix at that spot, where would you go? I mean, it's going to come from, I would assume, either edge rusher, wide receiver, corner, positions like that. If you could pick one that you knew that the Titans would just nail this offseason, what's the most important?
I'm going wide receiver. I think you got a young quarterback, and he needs to have a guy who is going to be just lights out for him. Hopefully immediate impact. I sent you a story last night about Jaxon Smith-Njigba,
yep,
who's coming here this week. Now, he's been a slower build. He's in year three, but he is doing ridiculous things. His numerical pace is crazy. I love Igbuka in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
If you could get a guy who is like one of those two guys, Igbuka is better because he's having massive impact in his first year. You get a guy like that paired with Ward, who is what Ward talked about Ridley as. You know, Ward came in talking about Ridley like he's a top three wide receiver in the league, and oh my God, there's awesome routes and speed and physicality and all of that stuff. Enter a name in there. You know, Mike Herndon declared yesterday, my guy at paulkowarski.com, everybody should know who he is.
Yep.
He tweeted, "It's early, but I'm planting my flag now on trade back plus Carnell Tate."
That's exactly who I was
for the
to
Titans
mind.
In the 2026 draft.
He's from Ohio State. Matches the other two.
Ohio State guys are like, what's the hit rate on Ohio State wide receivers?
It's pretty high, man.
It is tremendous. Now, the Titans, of course, would be the team that gets the Ohio State receiver who doesn't pan out. But
come
Herndon
on, Chris
says,
Sanders, let's go.
Herndon says he just checks all my boxes for what I like in a wide receiver prospect, highlighted by his elite, elite body control.
Yep.
Who's with me? And I think a lot of people will be with him, and I think you could probably get Carnell Tate. I answered a mailbag question this week about how far I would trade down. I think the Titans could trade. I said 10, 8 or 10 I would be comfortable, and I think – I would hope you could get Carnell Tate at 8, if not 10, And I you know, I don't know that much about these prospects yet, and I won't be the guy who knows these guys inside out like so many people.
Sure.
Wide receiver, to me, look, you've gone a lot of different directions. You've hit one damn receiver, really, in the whole time you've been drafting in Tennessee.
Yep.
In A.J. Brown. You effed that up royally. Get one. Get him with your quarterback. If your quarterback doesn't pan out, he'll be just fine with the next guy. Get a guy who can be out there all the time making plays and transforming your offense. He'll have a trickle-down effect where everybody else can slot where they should be, or at least start to slot where they should be. He'll open up space for people, and he'll threaten. The Titans need to have a guy that defenses look at who's, and they say, this is the guy we have to try to slow down, who then can still win. And they haven't had that guy since A.J. Brown.
And
outside of A.J. Brown, they haven't had that guy. I mean, no, that guy's always been in the backfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think wide receiver would be my answer, too. It's really close between it and edge rusher. But just because if you can have a dominant edge rusher, it just changes what your defense could be. But with the quarterback situation being what it is, like, I need to see what Cam Ward's got. And I think the more you can help him, the better off you're going to be there. Now, you know, is Carnell Tate that guy? And we're not going to spend, you know, a lot of time today going through draft prospects of wide receiver. I'm just saying, like, if you could find one of those guys in the draft, it'd be huge. And, you know, there's no way to guarantee that, you know, I would say that, you know, the Ohio State wide receiver thing is interesting because the one guy that everybody thought was for sure going to be a slam dunk at wide receiver from Ohio State recently has been Marvin Harrison Jr. And he's been okay. Like, he's been all right for Arizona, but he hasn't been what they thought he was going to be. And then you look around at all these other guys that are just really, really good from Ohio State at wide receiver. I like Carnell Tate a lot. There's a couple receivers in this draft that I like a lot. You know, Reuben Bain, I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good peeler, pretty good player at the NFL level on the defensive side of things. So the Titans should have some options there. You know, the thing is, though, PK, when you're trading back, theoretically, you're going to have to make a choice, right? Like, edge rusher, wide receiver. You can only get one of them high in the first round. You can have a good draft and get in the second round and hopefully find a really good player there, too. But, I mean, they just took Femi Oladejo in the second round, and they need him to be a good player next year, too, on the defensive side of things. And I have no idea what he's going to be. No clue.
And, look, you know, what can you mask better? I mean, they obviously need a big-time edge rusher. They need a big-time cornerback. But they've generated some pass rush out of this bunch that we all thought was absolute.
More than I thought.
Crap,
yeah.
Right? they even got some this week after trading Draymond Jones, who came on and was a key to that. I'll tell you another position. That they need. It doesn't have to be a premium draft position, and it doesn't have to be a premium money position, though the guys that have come before have all been high picks. But this team, to be good, has to be have a premier running back.
Yes, and we're going to get into that.
Every time it's been good, it's had a premier running back.
Yes, and we're going to get into that in the 7 o'clock hour for sure, because they are literally the worst team in the league running the ball right now by the numbers. The worst team in the league. We will get into that coming up here in a few minutes. It is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. PK, would you like to kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
I will kick us off. Best thing, oddly, and this is, it tells you how good it is that I like this because I hate stuff like this, right? If you caught that. There's a great story at ESPN.com about Oklahoma State fans enduring 1-9 and 0-7. Pete's Peelers, a bunch of guys dress up as bananas. And they're making the most of this, right?
Lean into it.
They're absolutely miserable, but they're finding ways to have fun at these games despite. And the thing that to me that makes it great is a story like this, I would usually just like absolutely shuffle past. I hate people having fun at games. Why would you even go to a game of an 0-7 team in the conference? But I thought it was really well written and fun, and I kind of vibed with these guys.
Wow.
So Pete's Peelers, best thing in sports.
You're going to find PK in a banana suit pretty soon.
Simon has a banana suit.
I think
he wore it for Halloween one time. And
look at Paul becoming a college football fan.
A human there.
Right before our eyes.
That's no college football fan right there. That's a fan of guys dressed up as bananas. I'm into Vandy right now heavily.
PK, go Cowboys!
Am I also doing my worst?
Yeah, go ahead and do yours.
All right, so U.S. men's soccer had a huge win against Uruguay. Mauricio Pochettino is the U.S. coach. His English isn't the best. He's Argentinian. So the U.S. wins with none of our frontline guys playing. And so the first questions of the press conference are about this. You know, but they're aiming to be complimentary, like, hey, this is a big moment that you win without the frontline guys and everything. But he's insulted. Like, what do you mean without our frontline guys? You know, I'm building a culture here where everybody's a frontline guy and there's no entitlement and everything. And he's getting offended and he thinks you're insulting everybody. And there's a little bit of a language disconnect and a little bit of a cultural disconnect, yeah. You know. And it is a very frustrating moment. I was talking to a friend in PR and it's, he was asking me, like, what I do, and I would have said, like, look, Mauricio, in America, you know, we have first string and second string a lot. Yeah. And we're concerned about our frontline guys not playing together for this World Cup. We don't have Argentinian depth or Chelsea depth like you're used to. You know, so there's a concern here. And also, we have depth charts in American sports, you know. But they need to sort this out somehow because the relationship between him and American press is not going well going into a World Cup, and it needs to be smoothed out. And this is on the heels of a 5-1 win against a very good team.
Also, it's kind of a compliment to your coaching that they're trying to get to there.
Yes, you just won with a bunch of not frontline guys. Yeah. But the idea that you're calling him not frontline, he's put off, and the whole conversation goes to hell.
Ian Safari, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yes, my worst, Jamar Chase spitting, not good.
We gotta put a stop to
this. He's still in denial on this, right?
Yeah, he is.
There's film of him spitting, but he didn't spit. Second spitter.
we gotta put a stop to it. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Don't spit. Period.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's. I guess this happens in sports, I guess. But this year,
cool.
You got the Jalen Carter thing, and now you've got him. So two right off the bat that have happened.
And then my best, I don't know, I'm going to do some hockey. I got a little hockey thing here. The Global Series, in particular, the Forsberg tire, and then the Stamkos win on Friday. That was fun to see.
It was cool. Yeah.
To see Forsberg fired up. I know the Preds aren't playing well, but that whole situation, he looked fired up. That was fun to see. And just in general, just some of the younger guys in the NHL right now, between Bedard and Celebrini in particular.
Playing great.
Yeah, I don't know. Part of me feels like the prime age for hockey, and maybe sports in general, is getting younger and younger.
What do you think it is? I just when you said that, I thought 22.
Yeah, I mean, there it's...
I get 23.
I mean, that's what kind both of those guys are. Like, they're like 21, 22. It's crazy.
Like that stretch, especially for some reason in hockey,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, even that's when the Preds were at their best.
Yeah.
When their younger players
was 23.
When they were a 22-year-old organization.
When that stretch of 22 to 26, you know, not 28 to 32.
Yeah.
No,
it's just becoming
something.
A younger game.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And then there's, you know, Corey Perry still out there at 40. So.
Oh, it doesn't apply to everybody. That's true. Yeah.
It doesn't. My best thing in sports, and I was – just honestly, between both of these, trying to decide which one was my best, and which one was my worst. But I'll go this way. Tennessee-Florida is coming up on Saturday, and we were talking about this before the show. There's a right possibility that this game could really upset me. But it is kind of the end of an era here because next year they're switching to the 9-game schedule. Tennessee is not going to be playing Florida every year. So it's the end of the rivalry on a yearly basis for the time being. Now, we'll see if it comes back one day and they're going to take a look at the, you know, the three permanent opponents, I think, again, here in a few years and see if they need to make any adjustments. But Tennessee-Florida rivalry, a chance for Tennessee to close it out on Saturday, at least the yearly portion of it, and get a win in Gainesville for the first time since 2003. PK, I'm sure that they will not let me down in this instance. They've never done it before.
Never
done it before. My worst thing in sports, I had to read this stat yesterday that I saw about your boy a few times to
so
just,
many boys
to just confirm that it was real. So I saw this from Nick Suss. He said, for those of y'all in the can it be any worse than this camp? This was a tweet he had a few days ago. Yes, but barely. The Titans have gained 2,425 yards through 10 games. Dating back to 2010, only one offense has been worse through 10 games, and that
amazing.
Was the Josh Rosen-led 2018 Arizona Cardinals. So and you read that, and you're like, okay, well, that's pretty bad.
There's a big and coming.
Well, and then he added to it yesterday.
Yeah.
He said, talking about this again and forgot to mention one relevant detail. The Cardinals' offensive coordinator for most of this stretch, Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy involved with, apparently, through 10 games, the two worst offenses to date, dating back to 2010.
Somebody sent me a Mike McCoy press conference from during his term with the Chargers. It was a 5-minute press conference post-game after a Chargers loss. And I'm not exaggerating. If you programmed AI to replace, you know, all the references to the Chargers and to replace player names, Charger player names with Titans player names, it's the exact same press conference.
Yeah.
With the exception at the end, like somebody forgot to ask about a serious injury, and they were like, hey, what about Manti? And he goes, oh, yeah, Manti tore his ACL. Very sad. We hate to lose him. Really worked hard for us.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. A couple things on the text line. Derek from Nolensville says, best was yesterday's Mason Kinsey discussion. We got a lot of reaction to that. Worst, the Tennessee Titans offense. We'll see if Mason Kinsey finds his way back on the field. Jared from Spring Hill, best yesterday's show with the trio of PK, Robbie, and Rex Road. I laughed so hard at times with the accents and the banter. It was radio gold. The worst, having to wait a week before we see Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders square off. We'll see if Shedeur's still the starting quarterback by the time that game rolls around. But we may get it.
Is that next week already?
December 7th. So they still got this week, then they got a home game against Jacksonville, I believe.
Correct. The
30th, and then December 7th on the road.
And we're back on the road. This has been a nice homestand.
Yeah. Shedeur. Sure, that'll go well. This is a good one to mention. Texas says the best is the UC Soros Hockey Fights Cancer Mask. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but it's got Aaron Donick on there, Partner Ball, Sheila Crisp, and Lexi Rogers, all kind of closely related to the Predators organizations here. So good stuff from UC Soros with the Hockey Fights Cancer game.
I'm going to look for that.
It's good stuff. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get into the Titans and their running game with PK coming up next. We got Luke Richardson coming up at 7:30, Preds assistant coach. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports talking Titans and all things NFL at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.